Sit in up on 51 this morning. Tractor trailer turned over, spilled Vicks Vapo Rub all over the highway. But good news, the police reported there'll be no congestion for the next 8 hours. There was no wreck, if you're wondering what I was talking about. I just heard that and thought it was kind of funny. For you Cub fans in the room this morning, got one, at least two, at least want to claim it. What year was that you guys won the World Series? Was it 2016? Was that right? They don't even know. It was 16. What was your response if you were a Cub fan when they won the World Series? Were you pretty excited? I think most Cub fans were pretty excited. There were Cub fans that I didn't even know were Cub fans after that happened. All of a sudden now they claimed their team. We won the World Series. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know you watched baseball, let alone you cheered on the Cubs. Now, for the Cardinal fan, when I watched that, I thought the next morning the world would be over. I just thought that was my, that's how I viewed it. I just thought it's the end of the world. That's just what's going to happen. You ever go to a paint a football game and they score a touchdown? The response to a touchdown, the school I went to in high school, we were a small school. We didn't have football. And so this is my first experience with this. And first game I went to, they score a touchdown and fireworks shoot off and they're blaring a foghorn and things are just going wild and crazy and there's ladies shouting these different chants and they're ringing cowbells. Cowbells like the size of a milk crate and they're just bong, bong and everybody's just going berserk. Quite a response just for a high school football game scoring a touchdown. Quite a response. Maybe you cheer your favorite NFL team, NBA team, Major League Baseball team, and you're watching it just at home on your television, and something great happens, and we have a response to that, right, when something goes well. Think about your children or your grandkids. Maybe you go to their spring or fall concert, and they perform, and the song's over, and you're clapping, you get the camera going, and you're coordinating, you're just so excited, and you're so proud, and there's a response there. Or maybe you go to an awards program that your grandchild or your child gets an award, and you're just filled with that pride, and there's that response to that. You're just so excited. Anytime your kids do something that's noteworthy, you're just excited, and there's a response to that. Our reaction to something is pretty important. I don't know if we think about this often. There are a lot of things in our daily lives that we have a response to. I was reading a blog that Bob Russell, the retired minister at Southeast Christian Church, I get an email from him every Sunday evening, and last Sunday evening, he wrote about Easter, and he talked about a top 10 list that he had saw on a website, the top 10 things that have happened in world history. And then here's the top 10, not necessarily in any kind of order, but here it is. The American Revolution, the Reformation, the life of Jesus, tearing down the Berlin Wall, World War II, World War I, Gutenberg inventing the printing press, the life of Muhammad, Pax Romana, and the Renaissance. And those are a lot of significant things that have happened throughout the history of this world. And Bob Russell made the point that how would you list that in order as most important? And as a Christian, I think it would be pretty obvious from that list how we would rank this list. That the life of Jesus Christ would be at the very top, second to none, because of his life, his death, and what we celebrated last Sunday, his resurrection. It's kind of a no-brainer. The other things perhaps are important, but the most important thing on that list would be the life of Jesus Christ and his life, death, and resurrection. And so I start to think about this, the important things of life that we respond to. Well, what about the most important thing that's ever happened? Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. Where's the response for the Christian to that? How are we supposed to respond to this? We celebrated Easter last week. We're filled with joy. We know we have a Savior that loves us, that was willing to lay his life down to die for us. But it didn't end there, but God raised him from the dead, defeating both sin and death. And so for us, we're filled with joy from that, but there should be a response to that. It shouldn't be, oh, I'm so happy, I'm so joy-filled, and then that's it. That for the Christian, there should be a response. How do I respond to what Jesus has done for me? And we find the expectation that Jesus has for us in Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus appears to many people, his disciples, and giving them their marching orders, telling them, now this is what you should and must go do. And in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, this is the Great Commission. This is the response of the Christian to the life of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What's our response? It's the words of Jesus. Maybe you have the red letters in your Bible. How Jesus responded before he went back to heaven, he left his disciples with that. He had taught them many things over 3 years, but the one thing that he left them with was to go and make disciples. It says in the scripture here, therefore go. This can also be translated as you are going. What Jesus is saying, this is kind of an implied thing. This isn't an option. This isn't when it is convenient or when it's comfortable or when you can get around to it. Maybe tomorrow, maybe then. It's not that way. How Jesus expresses this is he has this expectation that as you are going through life, you will be telling, you will be evangelizing, you will be sharing, you'll be making disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to follow Jesus' commands, to obey. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, the president of St. Louis Christian College was here and preached a message based off Acts chapter 1, and he really centered on verse 8, that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the president shared with us that will be isn't future tense, but it's an imperative tense. It's right now. You will be now, not later. It's the same idea as Matthew 28, that you will be my witness starting now, not later or down the road. That's the response that we should have in our life. It's not that we share our faith because we feel guilted into it or we think it'll please God, but it's out of a response from the love that was poured on us, that what else could we do other than share the message of Jesus? And so this morning, I'm going to hand the sermon off. We have a special guest today. Matt Wallace and his wife are here. They are missionaries in Myanmar, and they have taken this challenge, and I'm really excited to hear what he has to say about how they are fulfilling the Great Commission in this part of the world. And this is a new mission that the church started supporting around 6 months ago as an ongoing monthly mission. And so he's in the States in the month of April, and we got him here, and I'm excited to hear about what's going on in Myanmar. So give Matt a friendly welcome this morning.
Am I good? Check, check, one, two. Can you hear me okay? I can also talk loud if you can't hear me from the microphone. So good morning. I'm going to build on that because that's a great place to start when talking about what we do. Heather, could you join me just for a minute here? My name is Matt Wallace. I grew up to the east, just a little bit south of Mattoon, Illinois, in a little town called Trilla. Trilla had about 200 people. Actually had more dogs than people. I grew up actually 5 minutes outside of Trilla, so I grew up in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a cornfield. My dad farmed, and so I'm from around here. And this is my wife, Heather. Heather grew up in Springfield, the other direction. It's funny, I went to the University of Illinois at Springfield. That's where Heather and I met. For me, Springfield was a giant city. I'd only been to Springfield once or twice before I went there for school, and when I went there, it kind of blew my mind a little bit. And now we live in Yangon, Myanmar, on the other side of the world. It's as far away as you can get. It is the literal other side of the world. Right now, what are we, 8:50 in the morning here? It's about 9:20 at night there, so it is the other side of the world. And Yangon is a city of almost 7 million people. So it is as far away in every way you can imagine from what I grew up in. And when Heather goes to Trilla, she feels like she's on the other side of the world too. So you can have a seat. We have two little boys. One is 9 and one is 6. Judson is my oldest. They're actually going to be here after this service. They'll be here for the second service. They're coming over with my parents. And we couldn't get them up early enough. We left about 6:45. It was going to be a challenge to get them up here at that time. Judson is 9. Josiah is 6. And we've been in Myanmar for now just over 11 years. And some people say we don't look old enough to have been in Myanmar for 11 years, but I promise you it's true. We're older than we look, maybe. the thing about Easter that I just think is amazing is, as I was growing up, my church, I went to a small church in Trilla. My church, we didn't talk about Lent. We didn't talk about the church calendar very much. Easter was a thing we had coming, and we would celebrate Good Friday. Sometimes we would have a Thursday evening service. And then on Sunday, Easter Sunday, we all dressed up really nice, and we went to church that morning. We would have a sunrise service first, which Heather and I went to last week, at the place we always went to a sunrise service. And it was beautiful last week, right? There was no wind. It was 45 degrees at sunrise, which for us is freezing because it's 108 degrees in Myanmar right now. I'm not exaggerating. It's actually 108 degrees in Myanmar right now. And then you would go to the Sunday service and you'd be dressed up really nice, and then you'd have a really great lunch with your family. And then we would have a service that evening also, Easter evening. And then it was kind of finished. But if you look at the church calendar, the church historically has actually celebrated Easter for a season, for weeks, leading up to Pentecost. It was actually something you would celebrate for 50 days. So we were just we just heard an artist. His name is Andrew Peterson. We just heard him speak a couple of nights ago at a convention that we were at, and he talked about this season is called Eastertide, and he challenged us and the people in the crowd for the next 50 days, that's up till June 9th, okay? For the next 50 days to say Happy Easter to people. And it's funny because, you know, you could imagine on June 1st saying Happy Easter to someone in the States and they would look at you kind of strange, like Easter was a long time ago. But the fact of the matter is the resurrection of Jesus was the biggest deal. It was the biggest deal in the history of the world. Like, Brother Dave was just saying, it was the biggest deal and it changed everything. Turned everything on its head. Made everything completely different. It made dead things alive. They talk about the people coming out of their tombs when Jesus died. But it was when Jesus came out of his tomb that the crucifixion actually mattered. Paul in 1 Corinthians says that if Jesus was not resurrected, the crucifixion meant nothing. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we would still be dead in our sins. But the resurrection is God pointing to his Son and saying, yes, he is the King, and his death on our behalf matters and makes everything right. It's only his resurrection that says that new life is possible in God. It's only his resurrection that says that Jesus is the King on the throne. And so this scripture in Matthew 28 is the king saying to his people, this is what my kingdom will be like. I am the king. Wherever you go, tell people that. Wherever you go, make it like it's my kingdom. Wherever you go, show people what it's going to be like to be in the kingdom of Jesus. And that means wherever the church is, life should be better for those people right now. It should be better right now for anyone around. And for us in Myanmar, Myanmar's a very poor country. It's about 85% Buddhist. More than half the people in the country live on less than $2 a day. We work especially with young women migrants. These are women who have moved from the village to this big city of Yangon and are looking for work. And a lot of times, they didn't choose to move. Their village, their community, their family just told them, you're going. And we're talking about women aged anywhere from 16 to 25 years old. And you can imagine what it's like to be a young woman who is left behind your support system, leaving the tiny village and the farm. I feel a lot like that. Leaving the tiny village and the farm and going to the big city by yourself to find work, to find a way to live, to find a way to survive. Completely losing your social system. There are thousands of these every... How many people live in Pana? 5,800? Okay. We have about one Pana every 2 weeks moving to Yangon. Does that make sense? We have about 10,000 people a month who are moving to Yangon from the village looking for work. These are young women who have completely lost their social support. And so you can imagine how scary that would be. You can imagine how terrifying that would be. They look for work. They find work in factories. And these factory jobs are awful for women who are 18 years old. But when you ask them about what their life is like, they don't complain about the work. They work 6 to 7 days a week, 10 to 12-hour days. They don't complain about that. They complain about the walk to the factory at night in the dark, on dark streets, because of how threatening and terrifying and scary it is. So what does it mean for the church and for the kingdom of Jesus to speak to these types of people who live every day in terrible situations? So we work alongside these women to help them essentially start their own businesses. The task of being a business owner is it requires education, it requires thought, it requires coaching and training, it requires a coach, a mentor. So we get to be mentors for these young women. And in that process of helping them start a business, they can leave the factory, they can leave the danger of the factory, and start to really own something that makes more money, but also has a relationship with us where we can start to introduce the value that they have in God's eyes, where we can say to them, you matter because God says you matter. It's not based on how much money you make or what work you can do. It's entirely because God said you matter, because God created you, and Jesus died for you. So I get to do this in Myanmar. We do something that's called business as mission. Myanmar is a closed country. It's 85% Buddhist. We couldn't be there as missionaries, so we're there as business people. That's how we get to go to the country. So we started a company just to be there called Opportunities Now. Opportunities Now helps these young women start their own businesses. And it's because our King, Jesus, said, no matter where you go, you should tell people what it's like to live in the kingdom of Jesus. You should help them understand how much better life is with Jesus. And you should tell them the good news, which is that Jesus died and was resurrected. Died to cleanse us of our sin and was resurrected to bring us back from death. We don't just need to be cleaned. We don't just need to be cleansed of our sin. We also need to be brought back to life. And that's what Jesus accomplishes in the resurrection. And so as we're going throughout our work in Myanmar, this is what we share. This is what we do. We do this through this company, Opportunities Now. And one specific thing we started doing, there is a church in Myanmar. It's small. It's about 5% of the country is Christian. And the church is not very outward focused. It's very focused on its own people groups. Typically, there are some minority people groups that are completely reached. But there's this giant group called the Burmese who are 99.9% Buddhist. Almost no one has responded to the gospel in that people group, the Burmese. And we're trying to help the local church reach out to them. And there's this thing that they've done, which is really frustrating for me. A lot of churches in Myanmar, their pastors have told the Christians that go to their church that if you have a business, you are in sin. And that comes from Buddhism, actually. It comes from the church believing wrongly about things. They've actually said that if you are a Christian running a business, you are worldly. The idea of making money is a bad thing to these ministers. And it's just a false belief that we're having to really work through to help correct. Because these Christians who are running businesses are more active in the marketplace than almost any minister. They meet more people who are not believers than almost any minister can. And if you can engage those Christians who are running businesses to help them understand that every customer you talk to, every supplier, every employee you have is a chance for you to preach the gospel and a chance for you to reach people around you. So we work with Christian business owners to help them understand how to use their business to proclaim the kingdom, to say that the kingdom is coming, that Jesus is the king, and he wants life to be better for you. That's what we do in Myanmar, and that's what we've been doing for 11 years now. And we do this with a company of 25 people. So we have 25 young people who, some of them are Christians and some of them are not. And every day, my job is to care for them. I pray for them. I know them. We speak to them about the gospel. We speak to them about developing their professional skills. We help them earn more money, yes, but we also help them understand the truths of Scripture, the truths of the gospel, and the way that Jesus Christ died for them. And the thing about discipling in Myanmar is it takes forever. It takes so long. It takes so much time. We've been there 11 years. I don't know how long we're going to be there. But there's a lot of work to do in this area. And for Burmese Buddhists, they need to see year in and year out that living in the kingdom of Jesus is different. You can't just preach to them. You can't just lecture them. You have to live alongside them and show them what it is to live in Jesus' kingdom and what it is to love people around you, even in the midst of horrible things. Horrible things are happening around the world. We see this. We saw this yesterday, right? We just saw this yesterday. We've seen it so many times in the last years. The only answer to that, the only response to that, to violence, the only response to violence in our churches and in synagogues and in mosques, the only response from the church is sacrifice and obedience. It is the only truth of the gospel that will break through and show that the kingdom of Jesus is coming. So every day in Myanmar, we have to do this. Myanmar is 135 different people groups, 135 different tribes and different languages. You can imagine, they don't get along all the time. They do not get along all the time. In fact, the church is made up of mostly minority groups. And the Burmese Buddhists, more or less, I wouldn't say they hate them, but they just don't care about them. They don't care at all about those minority groups and their Christian beliefs. They don't think about them. What's the response of the church? Is it to proclaim their right, or is it to die on behalf of their brothers and their sisters who are Burmese Buddhists? And the only way they're going to learn the gospel is to see the church die to itself on behalf of them. This is what we're trying to speak and to preach as we preach the gospel, which is, it's so wise. God, his wisdom is far more wise than any of our wisdom. And in his wisdom, he chose a gospel that is about being broken in front of people. That's about being humble and obedient and sacrificial. And what I love about this whole thing is it's not just true in Myanmar. It's true right here in America. Every one of us has had a job or goes out into the marketplace or goes out into life around us, and we interact with people all the time who aren't believers. And it's only through the process of knowing them and caring for them and identifying for them or with them where God is working that the gospel really starts to break in to a really dark time, a really dark place. So I would challenge you until June 9th, say Happy Easter. Everyone you see, they'll look at you weird. They'll look at you strange. But that's okay, because the resurrection turned everything upside down. It made everything different. We don't just need to be redeemed. We don't just need to be cleansed of our sins. We need to be brought back from death. The world needs to be brought back from death. And that's what the resurrection of Jesus achieved. And that's what we're trying to proclaim in Myanmar. So I can't expect you to understand everything in 10 minutes, but I thank you for your prayers for the work we're doing in Myanmar. We have been there 11 years. I don't know how much longer we're there. It could be 25. It could be the rest of our lives. But thank you so much for your partnership and your prayers for us and your support. We'll be around after the service. I'm glad to talk to any of you and share ways you can pray. But right now, pray for my wife and my sons. Pray for the church in Myanmar, that it will be outward focused and really seeking to meet this need of proclaiming the gospel to the Burmese Buddhists especially, who haven't responded yet to the gospel. Thank you very much. God bless you.
We've heard the challenges that they have there, and as Matt said, I would challenge us as a congregation to continue to pray for them. The greatest thing that we can do is to pray for them. As he spoke and he wrapped things up, the same thought came to my mind that he closed with, that while that seems so far away and so foreign to us, it's also so similar. That they are finding a way to share the gospel through the business side of things. And for you and I, there are many people, you can't just walk up to someone and just preach to them. They may look at you as if you're a crazy person, or you're one of those Bible thumpers, and they just won't respond. But you find different niches in your life, and you gain trust with people and friendship, and then the doors of sharing the message of Jesus that Jesus asked for us to share, those doors open, and we have those opportunities. And someone probably told you about Jesus. I don't think anyone in this room had an epiphany one day and opened up the Bible without anyone ever telling you about Jesus first. And the impact that had for you in your life and where you're at today, you can be that for someone else. And that's a great challenge as well. We go ahead and get prepared for our time to worship through a response this morning. The message of Jesus is so important, and that's why we share every week the invitation to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And as I look around this room, I think just about everyone here has made that decision, and thank God for that. So the response this morning might be, as we worship together in a moment, kind of a renewal for yourself. How am I responding to the good news, the message of Jesus Christ? Am I upholding what Jesus asked for me personally as a Christian? This wasn't reserved just for those early disciples, but this has been throughout history until the end of time when Jesus returns, that all Christians are called for a response. And so maybe this morning as we worship together in this song, maybe have a renewal for yourself personally of how am I going to respond?